to VBAC Birth Stories, a podcast where Australians share their journey to a vaginal birth after cesarean.
We are a safe haven for women to share their own VBAC journeys and through these personal experiences, educate and empower listeners.
I'm your host, Mel.
And I'm your host, Steph. And this is VBAC Birth Stories. Hey everyone, and thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. We're going to be meeting Talia, who shares with us her three birth stories. The first of which of these ended in an emergency cesarean following induction for being post-dates. Although that first cesarean experience was fairly positive for Talia, she still sought to achieve a VBAC the second time around. At 38 years of age, she was classed as a geriatric pregnancy, and she was told that her baby was presenting breech. After an unsuccessful ECV, Talia had the full support of her medical team and specialist obstetrician to pursue a vaginal birth with her breech baby. Talia went on to achieve the seemingly impossible with her breech VBAC. Listening to Talia's wisdom, not only regarding that birth, but her other two birth stories, is really worthwhile. She dispels so many myths about birth fear and rewrites this narrative for birthing women and their families. And we feel that that's a really important message to take away. We hope that you enjoy the episode. Talia, welcome to the show. It's so nice to have you talking to us and sharing your VBAC journey. We'd like to start by asking you to tell us just a little bit about yourself.
Thanks so much for having me. It's really wonderful to have this opportunity to talk about this. So I live in the Blue Mountains with my husband and three children and our Kelpie dog. I work in education and also, you know, busily raising my children. Yeah.
So did you want to take us to before you fell pregnant with your first, if you had any preconceived ideas about birth that affected your decision making during pregnancy?
Yeah, sure. So I guess, you know, giving it context, I'm the oldest of seven and there's a big gap between me and the next child. I think there's like between 9 and 22 years between me and my siblings. So I did a lot of parenting really before I left school. So I was in no great rush to have children, but you know, at 33 this switch went off and I was ready and really wanted to have children. It then took 4 years for us to have our first child, which was a, you know, very difficult process with nothing that any doctors or anyone could really work out was the problem. And in the end we were very lucky in that acupuncture and detox and Chinese herbs seemed to be the thing that just tipped us over into being able to conceive. So when it came to birth, I think I had quite a cautiousness during the pregnancy and in the lead up to having my first child and willingness to be led by the doctors and by my experience at the hospital. But before that, I think, you know, part of my thinking was that aged 18, I was really lucky in that my mum asked me to be one of her birth support people when she had my second youngest brother. So that was an amazing experience. She'd had two cesareans. And so this was a VBAC for her at age 40. So it was phenomenal, you know, to seeing the strength of her love and the strength of her physicality and even how strong I had to be in that situation. It was really inspiring. And I did for quite a long time think that I might like to be a midwife and, you know, life took other courses. But yeah, that was very influential. But I think, you know, generally there was a lot of cultural fear around birth. So in my family's conversation around birth and, you know, just generally that idea that it's, you know, really hard, really horrendous, really full of screaming. So that was the kind of stuff that sat there. And so when I really look back on my feelings around birth before I had my first child, there was underlying real fear. Yeah.
Do you think that fear was cultural or had stemmed from your mother's personal experiences?
Yeah, I'd have to say a mixture of both. And, you know, I'm so often with my children now, really, I really try to talk about birth as being, you know, it's such a strong thing you can do with your body and you have to work with such strength with your baby and with your body rather than this story that it's horrendous, nothing hurts more, it's the worst thing you can ever do. So just in my little family, trying to re-script that. So I guess I'm aware of just how often in shows and in movies it is portrayed as this thing that happens to you and is really, really horrendous. I mean, Mum talks about her birth with me as a young woman in a country hospital and actually thinking she was dying and that they weren't switched on to what was happening for her and that there was very little education or knowledge at that stage in the early 70s.
When you were trying to fall pregnant with your first, did you consider going down the IVF route or was that something?
Yeah, look, we had actually booked in for IVF and the IVF doctor just said, look, I just don't know why you're not conceiving. Come back in 6 months. And he actually said, do look into acupuncture. He couldn't tell me why it was working, but he said the data was coming back with some really positive results. So that's the direction that we did take. I actually was booked in for IVF, did my pregnancy test and was able to call them that day because we were meant to go down the next day and just cancel the appointment, which was really wonderful. It was so fortunate that had been a thing for us.
So with your first pregnancy, what sort of model of care did you go with?
I just had the midwife appointments through the hospital.
Public hospital?
Yeah, through public hospital, our local hospital, which is a fairly small hospital in the Blue Mountains. My thinking around that was that I wanted to be able to be familiar with as many of the midwives as possible because that was something that I liked, the idea of knowing who was going to be there with us. So in that I was able to meet quite a few of them. And I did check in my GP a bit, who was pretty switched on. But yeah, I was, to be honest, like fairly at the whim of whichever midwife or whoever I happened to be with in each appointment. Yeah.
Were you happy with your care throughout that pregnancy and going into the birth? How were you feeling?
I was just so delighted and thrilled to be pregnant, and I really enjoyed pregnancy with all of my three children. So I don't think I was that much of a critical consumer. I look back now and think I could have been asking a whole lot more questions. I did consider getting a doula, but thought, can't really afford it. We won't head down that path. I had a sense that it would be okay, that I would be cared for. And I wasn't aware that, I actually thought the midwife would be with us during the whole experience. I wasn't aware that they weren't. So that was something that was a little harder to adjust to during the process. Yeah.
Did labour happen spontaneously for you?
No. So at 40 plus 10, I was induced. And I think that was a really critical point in leading to cesarean. And again, even though I was, into this and educated and looking into stuff and researching stuff, I was really ill prepared. I didn't know what that would really entail. And even that was a bit sort of blundery. Like they booked me in for an induction and I turned up with my bags packed and super excited because it meant I was going to have my baby. The appointment actually hadn't been written in. And so then they turned me away and I had to come back later that night. And then, induction started. And I woke up the next day basically with minute on, minute off contractions with no physical or emotional preparation leading to that. So that was just fairly shocking. And the whole process, I think, for me with induction was frightening and isolating.
Was there reasoning for induction because you were 40 plus 10, so you were post-dates and that was why it was recommended? And
that's right. And I was 37 years old, so there was always
a
high risk that was sort of patting me or surrounding me.
Did they use the label of geriatric?
Oh, yeah. Back I love then that as label. Well? I love that you're considered geriatric as a woman. Post-35, is that right? Yeah, very flattering, that label.
How did the induction process, I guess, go from there? So the contractions you were mentioning were coming on and off through the syntocin on drip, I suppose. And did they ever turn the drip off, and did your body start to accept the process, or what had ended up happening?
It was really strong, really quick, and really hard work. And it turned out that I think my baby had kind of turned to posterior position during the labor because she'd been anterior before, like the checking just before. And so look, 13 hours and I got to 5 centimeters, and then my baby's heart rate started to drop fairly regularly and worryingly during contraction. So yes, I was all hooked up and wired up and not really able to move. It was an experience that my partner wasn't able to, he didn't have the knowledge or tools to be able to really support me. So yeah, it was a very isolating experience, and you know, a lovely midwife who was just checking in when she needed to. And then there was talk of my cervix thickening at that point. And being a smaller hospital, there isn't staff necessarily on hand all the time. So there had been actually a friend that I'd made through the preparation for birth course had almost the identical labour, but 2 hours ahead of me. So she was in the adjoining room. I could actually hear her. It was quiet afterwards, because we had sort of several days in hospital afterwards sharing the story. It was like, and this was happening for you then. And it's, oh my God, that was all happening for me 2 hours later. And at the moment where they said cesarean, I was so relieved, because the hours of what had felt really dark and really futile, and with very little progression in terms of dilation, very little connection with the process, was feeling unbearable. So yeah, and I think I actually told the anaesthetist that I loved him, and but actual birth was such a wonderful and profound moment. Like the moment where she was lifted out of me, I just felt this huge kind of upsurge of euphoria like I had never felt before. So, you know, even though it wasn't the birth plan, it was still just phenomenal and wonderful. So I'll still always remember that as a really huge body memory. Yeah. And I was just so delighted to have my healthy baby with me after years and years of dreaming of meeting her. So yeah. And it was interesting, like that I look back now and I recognize that there was some, I guess, reaction to what had been a traumatic experience. But my lived experience in particularly the first year of her life was not one where I really regretted her birth or had negative feelings around it. I did dwell sometimes on, God, what would have happened if we'd been alive 200 years ago, 100 years ago, we would have died, you know. So there was that, you know, those midnight breastfeeding ruminations of how it could have gone.
It certainly sounds like you didn't regret the cesarean pathway, and that you had obviously a hormonal reaction and response to her arriving that was positive for you.
When did you reflect, I guess, on your birth and start thinking about your next baby, or, you know, what you would like for your next birth? When did all that sort of come into your mind?
You know, I had really held in my mind that vaginal birth is better for baby, better for mama, better for recovery, and that if we were lucky enough to have other children that I would try for a VBAC. But it wasn't until, well, when I conceived our second child, realizing that our 2 children would be 18 months apart, and was told very clearly that I wouldn't be able to pick up my old child for, I don't know, it's like 6 weeks, 2 months or something like that, if I had a cesarean. So that was my really motivating force. Yes, it was around a sort of practical but also emotional thing, the connection with her, rather than my own desire to birth vaginally.
And did you have any troubles conceiving this time around?
No, not at all. Yeah, just the minute we thought about it, we were pregnant. I felt so lucky.
So do you want to tell us how this pregnancy played along? Did you have a good pregnancy? Obviously, we know a little bit. Spoiler alert, baby was breached. At what point did all of that sort of come to play? And was there anything else that was on your mind during this pregnancy that you'd like to share with us?
Second pregnancy, obviously, I had a baby that I was looking after. So there was a whole lot less sort of slow, lovely walks through the bush and, you know, lying and just chatting to my baby in my belly. Life was a whole lot. So, you know, in terms of actual preparation, it was like stolen tiny little snippets of moments here and there. But yeah, I felt enormously connected to my baby. I definitely got a doula on board. That was the greatest thing, and I thoroughly recommend it.
I don't think there's many people who regret saying that they got a doula.
It's like, and you know, I do think that if I'd had a doula for my first child's birth, I possibly wouldn't have ended up having a cesarean. Just having that sort of additional layer of knowledge and care would have possibly just explained processes and found a wonderful doula, Lou McCarthy, who's now a midwife.
Yes. Great. We follow her on Instagram.
Yes. Wow. Phenomenal. And, you know, I did meet with a few people, but she just, you know, it was just the right connection. Everything was tracking just fine. Baby was growing beautifully. I was doing well. But at 34 weeks, when I went for an ultrasound, they told me that she was breech. And up until this point, I had been negotiating a VBAC at the larger hospital, which wasn't where I'd had my first child, because they don't consider VBACs there. So I was at a larger hospital there, and they were happy to work with me towards a VBAC. But the risks were explained to me at each and every appointment. And I was in a position where I, you know, armed with a few little phrases from my doula, was able to say, okay, can you show me the statistics on that? And where are you getting your research from? And, you know, could you show me that study that you're talking about? So I was actually asking them to you know, back up some of the things that they were saying, because some of the phrases that were being presented to me weren't positive and weren't supportive. So yeah, at 34 weeks, the ultrasound technician just said, look, there is no way they're going to be letting me try for a breech VBAC here. It's not going to be considered at all. You'll be, if you're going to birth here, it will be cesarean. If the baby stays breech.
How busy was son trying to break in?
Identical to my son. It's like they're kindred spirits.
Yeah. Oh my God.
This is my son. The only reason that's not happening at my house right now is that he is at another house.
But that's hilarious.
He usually does that.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I'm just glad that it's not just my
not
life.
Just you, Steph.
Yeah, it's me.
Not. I might just call my mum.
Yeah.
No, she's up in the house. And
it's actually really cute.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of mums who listen to this and just go, I know exactly what this woman is going through.
It's so hard for my brain to stay on track. Hi.
So that's all right.
Going into the cabin.
I just love it because it's like the girls are probably somewhere occupying themselves, but the boys, it's just like mama.
And there's a whole crew of cousins. There's like 8 kids here in this holiday.
Yeah. Oh,
there's
wow.
A lot of fun up there to be had, way more fun than.
And he's just like, I just want mum.
Yeah.
That's
brilliant. So funny.
Well, I just wanted to take you back there where you were saying that a lot of things were said to you that were not positive or supportive of a VBAC. Mm. What sorts of things were they, and what was your response to them?
Okay. So the comments that hadn't been positive were just, you know, comments about being older, even though it was, you know, really well and healthy and quite fit. Comments around the risks of uterine rupture and that it was safest for my baby to have a cesarean, I think there was a comment around that. I mean, I'm not quoting directly, but along those lines. And so I think, you know, the support of my doula meant that I was able to be prepared for things like that to be said and was able to then ask for the evidence to back those things up.
At that time, were you seeing mainly obstetricians or different midwives at the hospital?
No, I was seeing obstetricians.
oh, okay, I think things have changed now. You can, as a VBAC, see midwives.
And I did have a caseload midwife for my third baby. Yeah, and it felt very awesome. Different yeah. third time around. Yeah. Yeah, so one of the obstetricians suggested that I could have an ECV, but that they don't do them at that hospital, and that I could try to contact a private obstetrician for one, but they couldn't recommend one. So it was just sort of felt like this unknown world, and that there might be some help out there, but I didn't quite know how to access it. And that's where, again, having a doula was just wonderful. She was able to work through some contacts that she had to have me see Dr. Andrew Pesha, who had previously been the head of the AMA, so I knew about him in that context, and he was running the Breach Clinic at Westmead Hospital. So he made contact with me and had heard that I was, you know, committed to having a VBAC, was 38 and had a baby in Breach position. So my husband and I went in and met with him, and he was just so generous with his time with us and all of our questions. Neither of us was particularly into taking risks. If I was very clear that if I felt that there was a risk to my baby, that I wouldn't pursue a VBAC. And I remember feeling really assured that the doctor was like that too. So because I hadn't birthed vaginally before, I had a scan of before that I had an ECB, which was a really bizarre process to go through. The medication that they give you just makes your heart race like you wouldn't believe, and the bed tips up so your head is lower than your pelvis, and the doctor was fully breaking a sweat trying to turn my baby. Like, it was a really physical process and didn't work. Wow. So she stayed in exactly that same position. I was also doing things like, you know, all the kind of positioning stuff that I could do at home, seeing an acupuncturist as well. And none of these things were working to turn my baby. So there was a point at which I was like, okay, I'm going to have a breech baby. How am I going to do that? At the hospital, they booked me in for a cesarean. I think it was 5 days before her due date. And I had this sort of moment where I had to decide what I wanted to do, because at Westmead I was being offered the opportunity to, through their breech clinic, attempt a breech VBAC. Or a go with the cesarean. So I really leaned into the community that I had around me, you know, just talking to friends who'd had a second cesarean, what had that been like for them, to my dad's wife, who's actually a midwife for quite a long time and had worked in remote communities. So she had been at the delivery of breech babies, and she was able to really talk me through her experiences with that. You know, I looked at the term breech trial. I've looked at that particular article and other information and data and statistics around breech delivery, and guided by Andrew Pesha, was able to see that there were no significant greater risks in birthing my baby in breech presentation in that particular setting. So in a hospital with expert support, it felt safe. So that's what we went with. The doctor got me to have a scan of my pelvis to just check that my pelvis was going to be able to actually move and be wide enough, because I hadn't birthed vaginally before. And that, it was about 5 days between having that test and actually getting the results. So that was a little bit of a nervous time, but that was all fine. So as soon as that was cleared, then it was all systems go. I could really get my head around attempting this fairly significant feedback.
What advice would you have for other women who were in that situation where they're attempting a VBAC for the first time and they've discovered or been told that their baby's in breech position? Are there any particular resources that you would sort of want to let them know about?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I remember my first moment when they said it was breech was like, oh, well, I can't have a VBAC. And I guess, you know, I really want to put out that this is just what happened for me in this particular moment in time. And, you know, for some people, the idea of a breech VBAC, it's really big, you know, and I have zero judgment around anyone making a different decision. Like, I really want that out there, that, you know, this is just a set of circumstances that worked really positively for me in this moment in my life. So yeah, I would say, you know, just definitely doula and you know, leaning into the supports that are around you, whether that's being able to access the services of an obstetrician, really looking at the facts. So the facts around breech, I think there is a bit of misinformation. I feel like there have been a sort of under experience with some medical staff. This is from what I have talked to other people about. So for quite a few years, breech babies weren't being delivered in hospitals, so people just weren't having that experience. But I think that is increasing now with breech clinics opening up and a little more knowledge around it and more experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess just looking at the possibilities that it doesn't actually close that door.
And so you've been given the okay from this experienced breech obstetrician to be supported in this attempted vaginal breech feedback birth. Were you informed about, you know, what would make this birth go better? Like, were they sort of saying it's ideal for you to go into labor spontaneously? Was there any chat about that? Like, because you obviously you went over with your first baby. Was that playing on your mind approaching your due date now with
a breech baby? A bit of surrendering, similar but different to my first child, like surrendering over to the medical expertise because it was an unusual birth. So I went for a check with the doctor and I was already 2 centimetres dilated and I hadn't noticed like it was happening.
How many weeks were you?
That was at 39. Yeah. So for me, that was really exciting that was actually just happening naturally. This idea that I couldn't kind of, maybe my body didn't know how to kind of kick that along was being, you know, disproven to me. So it was really lovely that was just happening. So the doctor gave me a stretch and sweep and then I went home and then started to sort of gently start contracting, which was really great. And it's like, oh, okay, I totally get this, because my previous experience had just been like bam, right in the middle of it. So on minute off contractions, which were really heavy going, and so it was, I really enjoyed that sort of gentle unfolding of the contractions to just kind of warm me into it. So I was at home and my other daughter went to her nana's house and I worked on a sewing project that had sat there for a year. It was like the perfect time to get that dress. And I also did my tax. It was sort of these finishing things as I was just gently kind of working with these contractions that were starting to happen. It was about in the middle of the night. I was having a contraction every 5 minutes and I rang the doctor. He was really thrilled. He invited me to come into the hospital and I went to the hospital. Things really slowed down by the time I got there. But given that I was, you know, such a sort of high risk, then they agreed that it was best for me to just stay there. And it was over an hour trip from our house. And I, you know, was able to just get a bit of rest and continue to have sort of gentle contractions through the night, but not with me regularly. One added thing in this whole story, it was the day before a long weekend. So there suddenly was this like pressure to get baby born. The doctor did tell me that there was another doctor who he would entrust for the breech VBAC delivery of my baby if he wasn't able to be there as he was going away for the long weekend. But I had wanted, you know, I was like, I want him to be there. Like, I don't want to hand over. Suddenly there was a bit of a time pressure. I hadn't progressed any further in terms of dilation. And so it was suggested that I did have a bit of Cinto to get things moving along a bit and that my waters be broken. And I was, at this point, I was consenting to these things and then not quite sure, and I stupidly left my phone in the car and I couldn't call the doula. It was all just this messy moment, and then managed to, you know, my husband went and got my phone. I was able to contact the doula, who was able to then come in. I had my waters broken and I had accepted a low dose of Cinto, and then I had this huge regret around that I'd let my family down, that I was headed towards cesarean by doing that. But then, you know, that was just this moment of panic, and my doula was able to really talk me down from that and just say, look, we're just dealing what we have here. This is an unusual birth and we're having to do this negotiation between what we're being advised, what you want, what's needed to get this baby out.
And was that different this time around when you had the syntocin on, obviously, as opposed to your first induction?
Yeah, it was. It just felt like it just kind of just gently pushed things along a little bit. It didn't radically change the way I was labouring. I remember there was a moment where there had been a midwife who I felt quite connected with her, and then as soon as the doula came in, she became really quiet, put out, and there was a very frosty atmosphere from her, and, you know, I was really kind of stressed by that. And she put the Cinto up without talking to me about it, and suddenly the dynamic was quite stressful. And then I heard her mention that there was going to be change of staff, and then in walked the most fantastic midwife angel ever. It was just phenomenal. She was so good. I think she'd actually won like midwife of the year or something like that.
Really?
She was it was just so meant to be. And she instantly connected with my doula, which really put me at ease that they I was able to have this team working together. And given that it was this, you know, unusual birth, the midwife was with me all the time. There was a point where I remember really clearly starting to contract in a really different way. I remember my, you know, pelvis being pushed forward at the end of every contraction, and I remember the doctor being in the room but standing at a difference, at a distance, and just observing what was happening. And then, you know, he was like, okay, it's time to do another exam. And this moment of him just saying, okay, 10 centimetres. And it was just phenomenal, and so excited to get to that point. And look, all ideas around calm birth and dim lighting and gentle voices with a breech feedback are thrown out the window. Like, this is more like Channel 9 broadcasting the grand final. It was just,
I love that.
To be like, yeah. So many things, like it's almost like an electronic music going off, and the lighting is forlorn. And this is a really unique experience. I have some really dedicated students. Do you think it would be okay if they came in?
So they invited an audience
there was an audience. And I actually didn't, that was okay. Like, I really felt like it wasn't entirely just my birth, because I by this stage did feel like this is, you know, this is really important, that this is something that is offered to women who are considering a VBAC, that this option is open for them. So if allowing these other people in here can extend their learning, can extend opportunities for other people, then wonderful, like, bring it on.
Definitely, yeah. Oh, wow. Were you still connected to the syntocin on drip at this point, or had your body taken over?
I think my body had taken over by then, and I just had the, you know, belly monitors on. But it was when it came for, you know, pushing my baby out, it was on a bed, feet in stirrups, with this particular breech birthing bed that they have, you know, the big bright lights, blah. Yeah, and a crowd. It was it was very very busy in there. And look, it was over an hour of pushing. Her little bum kept coming out and then coming back in and coming out and coming back in. Someone had set up a mirror to try and kind of motivate me to push more or something. I don't know. I couldn't have pushed more. And it really had this sort of sense of like a football match. Like, the crowd was going wild at certain points. Like, there was just so much support and investment and excitement around this baby being born. I just had to kind of go with that. Two hilarious moments. I think one of the student obstetricians, after one contraction, looked up and said, "Do I know you from somewhere?"
Oh no!
It's like, what?
No.
And did you know them?
No. And it was just like, I think I said, "What, my vagina or my face?" Because like, this is just bizarre. And when I looked at it, there was all these hilarious comedic moments just added to this wild kind of grand final fairground feel. So look, after about an hour of trying to push her out, I ended up having an episiotomy so that she, you know, just couldn't. Yeah, the doctor was manually trying to kind of stretch me to get the baby out, and it just wasn't working. So
was she feet first by this stage?
No, or? Footling, I don't think they would consider a breech. That's my understanding, a breech delivery. Footling. So she was bum first.
Bum first, okay.
Yeah, and then, you know, amazing moment where, you know, her body was, you know, the doctor did actually manually kind of fold her out. So, you know, legs, arms, it was, you know, he was trying to be as sort of gentle as possible, but there was this very hands-on delivery of her body and then hands off. So this moment where, you know, there were mirrors set up, everyone just kind of in silence for the first time as just her body was birthed and she was able to kind of turn in that moment. So visually it was quite a bizarre and incredible thing to be seeing.
So her head's still inside you, but her inside, I guess, yeah, shoulders down. Was she moving, like moving her legs and all that sort of thing?
No, she was just kind of still suspended there in this, you know, knees tucked up, fetal kind of position. And then the doctor, you know, and manipulated her mouth to come out and then slowly guided her head. And then she was born. Oh. And straight onto her chest. And then, but that was fairly brief that we had that little moment because she was pretty shocked from this, you know, full on birth. Yeah. So she needed a little bit of care and, you know, on the little warm bed that they put them on with the lights and everything, she was lying on her back and her legs were completely on the bed as well. So her hips were completely sideways, which was fine. It turned out that was fine. She, you know, had her hips tested. I can't remember, at 6 weeks or something, and they were really fine. But yeah, I think it was a, you know, in some ways, particularly the actual moment of delivery was quite big for her little body to cope with. Yeah.
How did you feel when she was born and placed on your chest?
Oh, just so incredible. Like I had won every grand final in the world ever. Like it was oh my God, I had done the most phenomenal thing with her. So yeah, that was just wonderful. Yeah. And it's, you know, she's always been one to do things her own way, and it's always just felt like, oh, yeah, she did that from day dot. Like she just has done things in her own way, but with this need to kind of really work with the people around her. So she and I have worked in this really kind of intricate, unique and intimate way for her to be born.
Afterwards, she was only separated from you for a few minutes as they checked her over.
And, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that's good.
And so, you know, in that evening later in the hospital when everyone else had gone, just I really clearly remember the beautiful, quiet moment where I was able to just really be with her and just, you know, it feels so wonderful. It's like, hey, baby, we did this. It's incredible. We did this moment. Yeah, and it really did feel like, you know, if I can do that, I can do anything.
Yeah. Did you feel as though because she was breech and delivered vaginally and via a VBAC that there was this sense from the staff that this was something out of the ordinary, this experience?
Yeah, it really was. And there were people coming in just to meet this baby that had been born in this like unusual way and saying that they'd heard the story, particularly one person who works quite closely with the doctor, who I remember when he was first booking me in, he was on the phone to her saying, so I have this client here, yep, mm-hmm, so yep, it's it'll, yes, breech delivery, yes, yes, VBAC, yes, geriatric. You're on the phone, just go, what? And he was like, no, trust me, it'll be okay. No. She's really committed to this. And so she came in to meet me. She said, I had to come in and meet you. I'm just, you know, amazed that this has come through. And the staff, I could really feel their confidence in Dr. Pesha. So that was something that in my decision making to have a VBAC, but also in afterwards, there was just such a sort of ease and confidence in his decisions around how to safely assist women to have their breech babies. And that was certainly my experience. I felt really cared for the whole time. and that we were in really safe hands.
Yeah. No, it's really That's great, fantastic, to have that option available to us in Sydney anyway. We know that it's obviously not very common, not just in Australia, but around the world. It's it's a skill that, we hope that more and more obstetricians and midwives are affiliated with, because obviously you've had such a wonderful experience. So did you have any help with your placenta delivery, and did you get stitched up and all that sort of thing?
That all happened there. My placenta with my second baby, my breech delivered baby, was huge, and apparently that, I don't know, that's possibly one reason why she was breech and why the ECV didn't work, is just this enormous placenta.
Oh, interesting. Did you did you have the injection, to the hormone injection, to deliver it?
I did, actually. I had originally thought I wouldn't, but I don't know. I think I just had felt so lucky to have the opportunity to have a VBAC that I did sort of surrender some of those things that I had would otherwise have preferred not to do. So when I had my third child, I just requested not to have that.
Postpartum after your second birth, was that a different experience for you? Obviously it's different because it's your second child, but do you feel that the birth affected your postpartum experience as opposed to the cesarean in any way, or was that not different for you?
I found the episiotomy harder to and more painful to deal with than I had found the cesarean scar. So there was, you know, managing that, that was difficult, but it wasn't hugely difficult. It was just, you know, a thing. But in terms of my energy levels, I, you know, felt fantastic, actually. I did have my placenta encapsulated, and I took my placenta as capsules with that. So possibly that had something to do with, you know, boosting my energy levels. But after my second baby, I had, you know, an 18-month-old and a newborn, and so life was really busy. There was a huge sense of satisfaction that I had been able to provide something for both of my children by having this VBAC. I'd been able to maintain my physicality and my physical care of my oldest child by being able to lift her, but also the emotional care by being able to just be there and not have to so radically shift our relationship. I thought not being able to lift her would do. And to give my second baby the experience of the vaginal birth, you know, which is wonderful on many levels.
And also has, you know, different benefits for them, obviously, as well. Heading into your third pregnancy, how did that come about? Were you always intending to have a third child? What was sort of going through your mind, I suppose?
There was, certainly was a period of time where, you know, we thought, let's try for a third. But, you know, again, given the difficulty we'd had conceiving our first child, I was really having to just put it out there to, you know, what happens will happen. Like, and I was getting older as well. So for me, there was a point at which I had in my mind that I would need to just kind of sign off on whether we had another child or not. For me, that in consultation with my doctor was 42, but luckily I conceived just at the beginning of turning 41 with my son. And again, a really beautiful pregnancy. I, you know, really enjoyed his pregnancy. I knew that it was definitely my last pregnancy, so really tried to enjoy it and, you know, and just involve my two daughters in knowing what that process is like and bonding with their brother in utero and, you know, this big growing belly. There were so many photos of this big puddles around my belly and then listening to him and chatting to him and, yeah.
And you didn't have any issues conceiving?
No.
Yeah. How would you compare, say, what would you say were the main differences? You mentioned already that you had caseload midwifery care, so the one midwife this time around. And were you able to birth in your local hospital, or did you also have to travel a little bit back to the other hospital because you were still considered a VBAC even though you've already had a VBAC?
So I did inquire, and at my local small hospital, they said no, and it was still considered a VBAC. So I did go to the other larger, but still local hospital.
Yeah.
And that process was very different the second time around from when I'd been there with my middle child. It was, you know, 4 years later. This time I was offered caseload midwife care, which was fantastic. So I met with the same midwife and student midwife for the whole pregnancy. And I just had felt that the language and the discussion around VBAC had shifted. So it was a lot more positive. It's something that was noticeable. The culture had shifted.
You were really enjoying the third pregnancy. Did you think about the birth at all in terms of anything that you'd like to do differently, or were you pretty relaxed about the whole experience third time
around?
Well,
I was really looking forward to having something that was a little more around the dim lighting and the quiet room. I just thought,
rather than the grand final.
Yeah.
Approach.
This time, yeah. It's like I can have more of a say and I can own this process a little more. Whereas with my middle child, I had to really hand over a lot of that. You know, it was wonderful to work with my doula again. She was stoked to get the text requesting her presence for a second time to support us, and she was so happy to be able to work with me around, you know, just envisaging and working towards a birth that just had the heat taken out of it, that was just, you know, a little more low-key, a little more directed by me. So that's how it unfolded. I feel so fortunate. I was able to work with her, and with we had two midwives come through that the birth that were just wonderful. They weren't my caseload midwives, but they were incredible. One of them actually had been the midwife that I'd had with my first child, who was lovely, and I felt very confident with her, and another who was just fantastic. And also a student midwife who was so switched on, very preemptive of my needs.
I wanted to ask you, during this pregnancy, yeah, were you a bit worried about having a breech baby? Did you do anything physically that would to try and,
yeah. I just did general sort of positioning things, so lots of stuff on all fours and, you know, yeah. Just tried to be active. And I did think, surely not, surely it won't, you know. So I was really relieved later on toward the end of the pregnancy when, you know, his position was all good.
Yeah, paving the way for the kind of, you know, low-key birth that you were hoping for, not so grand final.
Yes, that's right. With his birth, like, it all just went really smoothly. It feels like a really textbook kind of birth, even though that completely isn't one. I went into labor, started having contractions just naturally. There wasn't any induction. There was suggestion of it at one point, but, you know, my doula was like, they say that to everyone. It's fine. You're going fine. So that was great.
How many weeks were you when you went into labor?
Yeah, I was 40. Yeah. It just feels so beautifully kind of unremarkable. Like, everything just kind of worked. Everything just as much as you could have in a hospital environment. My requests around how people were in the space were respected. You know, the lighting was kept low, voices were kept quiet. The entrance to the room from medical staff as they came in was very sort of quiet and respectful. I was able to just be really held by my doula. My partner was there. Look, transition was really tricky. It was really, really hard work. And I think there was a little bit afterwards where I was like, wow, that was so hard. Why was that so hard? But it was, you know, that was the really hard bit of that labor, was just the transition. And he was a 9-pound baby, so possibly that made it a little harder. I don't know. But I did have a lot of support during that process. The thing that I remember, and I love telling this story to my son, he often asks me to tell him this story, is when it was time to push, this huge storm came, and it was just phenomenal. It was one of those storms that was like right on top of the hospital. It was huge. There was just massive thunder and lightning and just those incredible, completely downwards raindrops, those big summer raindrops that just lashed down for the whole time that I was having to push, which was, you know, only about 15 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And then he was born and the storm disappeared. So, and I remember this moment where it was like, yep, 10 centimeters, you're ready to push. And the storm came, and I just kind of remember accessing that power, just thinking, okay, storm, we're going to do this. And so that was just this wonderful, like, external but internal motivating force that I was really use. Some came out.
It's amazing. Did you feel the urge to push as well at the same time that they said you were 10 centimeters dilated? Were you, or did you find your body was already kind of pushing?
Yeah, and they said, okay, we'll do an exam. And I said, yeah, I feel I'm ready to push.
It's interesting. It was only 15 minutes this time, the pushing, as opposed to
I was thinking, oh, here we go, an hour and a half of this, here we go. But no, it was only about 15 minutes, which just felt like a snack, really, nothing. Yeah, and so, yeah, he was able to just come straight to my chest and be there for quite a long time, and really able to have that skin-to-skin time with him, which was wonderful. My daughters came to meet him fairly shortly after that, which was wild and amazing and confusing and great and for them, yeah.
Did you tear with your third birth, with your son's birth?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Is it second degree?
No, it wasn't too bad. I can't quite remember. Yeah.
And this time, did you have the delayed cord clamping, and were you able to deliver your placenta without any help or of the injection?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So all of those things that I had to just kind of surrender with the previous birth, I was able to hold with the birth of my third child.
How did your third birth compare to the second birth?
Yeah, they were just so radically different. I do feel that my second birth prepared me for the third birth. Like, I knew what my body could do. I knew what kind of thresholds I would have to be working to and beyond within myself. And I knew that that feeling of having to go to the absolute depths of myself to find the physical and emotional strength and the kind of things that would help me. So the things that I focused on in terms of, you know, quiet meditative moments in the build-up, and I did it with all three of my births, was, you know, particular places in nature where I would just go and connect with and try to kind of bring some of that energy or whatever with me to that, and able to sort of access that in the birthing moment. Yeah, I felt more prepared. It's funny, I've always had this feeling like if I had children younger, my next baby would definitely be a home birth. I'm not going to have another baby, but if I were to continue this birthing journey, I feel like it would be at home.
Yeah. Do you feel as though having three hospital birthing experiences changed your notions of home birth or what a home birth might entail? Yeah,
definitely. I think, you know, if you'd asked me 15 years ago, I would have said something really crass, like, why would you want to mess up your own house or something? You know, that was coming from, I guess, you know, fear rather than actually really deeply thinking about it. But, you know, I now see, having had my third child and just seeing, you know, how kind of simple it could be, that that's something that would be very beautiful to have in a home environment for me and for my children.
Yeah, that's very true. I think the whole experience changes and challenges a lot of our preconceived ideas.
Yes, absolutely. And it's interesting. It's always a constant kind of a sort of folding over of what we know. Like, I know my birth stories, but I know them in a bodily way. So it's been a really interesting process in terms of, like, looking back at the stories I wrote about them in just in preparation for this conversation. There's things I forgot, but then there's, you know, these deep body memories that have stayed and in some ways become even stronger as the years have gone by, that I couldn't articulate, but they're the true stories of the birth. And yeah, and just how much, you know, even now I can look back on the birth of my first child and have fresh insight on what that experience was like for me. Yeah, because it's so much being born in the birth of your first child. It's you as the parent and as the mother, and as, you know, this idea of sort of, you know, I remember after her birth having this really strong feeling of connection with all other mothers ever, which is kind of huge, really. But just the world had opened up in this whole new way to me in that moment. The enormous sense of connection with the past and with the future.
Oh, well, it was so lovely to talk to you, and thank you for sharing all three of your birth stories with us.
Particularly
our first vaginal breach story that we've heard. So I think a lot of women will be very interested in that story and interested in hearing all of your three stories. So thank you very much for sharing those with us.
You're very welcome. And thanks so much for the podcast. I think it's really wonderful that these conversations are being had and heard and people are really seeing what options there are for them.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Mm. Thank you so much for reaching out. Yeah. We're so excited when we heard your story. You're the only person who's reached out who's had a breach feedback.
Mm. Well, I haven't met anyone else who has, and I would love to hear if
Yeah. So if there's anyone out there in Australia who's had a vaginal breach feedback, we'd love to hear from you, so get in touch.
Thank you for listening to this VBAC story. If you like the show, please subscribe and feel free to leave a review. If you would like to connect with us on social media, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for VBAC Birth Stories. If you have a question or you'd like to express interest in sharing your personal story, email us at vbacbirthstories@gmail.com. VBAC Birth Stories is a podcast where we share women's lived experiences. Please be advised that it's not intended to replace medical advice. If you have any concerns at all during your pregnancy, please always speak to your healthcare provider.